case for our argument, United States v. Farinella. Mr. Nash.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the Court. On page 5 of the government's initial brief, it makes the statement that starting in the fall of 2003, ACH, the original manufacturers of the salad dressing in question, began receiving consumer complaints, and I quote, about the poor quality of the dressing. This statement is inaccurate. It is not true, and it is not supported by the record or the citation in the government's brief. If you look at pages 314 and 315 of the transcripts, which they cite, it will not support that statement. There was an objection. The objection was sustained. From that point forward, the only complaints anybody ever received about this dressing was the fact that it had been relabeled.
Can I ask you a question about that, Mr. Nash? Though one theme that runs throughout your brief is the notion that the new best if purchased by date, which is about a year out from the old one, was now Mr. Farinella standing behind the salad dressing's quality up to that point. But I didn't see anything in this record suggesting that Mr. Farinella's name is anywhere on this label. It's not like he pastes over, you know, Farinella's salad dressing. It's still Henri's salad dressing. So I don't see how Mr. Farinella is in any way implicated with the dressing from the consumer point of view. And at the most simplistic level, isn't there now something wrong about the label? It says that Henri or Unilever, whoever it may be, is vouching for the dressing up to a certain date, and they weren't.
Mr. Farinella's name does not appear on the label.
Right, so there's no label. There's nothing to associate it with. So that theory isn't helpful.
Actually, Judge, the citation for that quote is the government's position. We had taken that position in the trial court that, in theory, the FDA's regulation says that the owner puts that date on, and the owner is the person that owns the dressing at the time. And, in fact, all Mr. Farinella was doing was saying this dressing will be good to that date, and the proof is in the pudding.
Well, but nobody knows except Mr. Farinella that this is Mr. Farinella's statement. It looks like it's the statement of the people who pasted the rest of the label on the bottle.
That could be, but they don't know.
But doesn't that make it misbranding?
No, that's not.
Why not?
Because that isn't part of the brand. The FDA doesn't do anything with regard to taste or quality. There's no regulations whatsoever. And in the pretrial motion that we filed, we made that point. The government, I believe, on page 2 of one of its briefs, of its original briefs, says that they didn't oppose that, that there are no regulations. That was their position in their initial brief in this court. That was their position in the pretrial. During the trial, they changed their position completely and said, oh, now the FDA controls if you change that date. Okay, what regulation says that? What law says that? For that matter, is there any website of the FDA? Is there any literature of the FDA that says that? And it is not the case.
Who put the original date best to sell by? Was it Unilever or ACH?
It's unclear from the record. Actually, I went back and looked at that. It appears that the ACH people intimate that it was that they got this dressing from AC or from AC from Unilever, and that they had put the label on.
Unilever to ACH to Farinella, is that
right? And I believe the fair interpretation that would be Unilever.
Now, where was the stuff? Where was the salad dressing actually manufactured?
I believe Minnesota, but I don't believe the record is clear on that.
Do we know where the ingredients from the in the salad dressing come from?
No.
Is there a statute or a reg which requires the best purchase by date?
No.
It's just voluntary by the manufacturer.
It's very clear that that's the... Actually, it uses the term owner or manufacturer, the various... And these are websites. These are not regulations. There is no regulation that mandates a date, mandates approval by the FDA to change that date. And again, there's not even a website. There's not even a piece of literature that suggests it.
Now, I gather there aren't any prior criminal prosecutions or at least cases. Is there some history of civil litigation, FTC or something like this?
None that I'm aware of.
Could I ask you this question? You use... Actually, I forget which brief this term comes up in. I think it might be one of yours. The term shelf-stable. Now, of course, the FDA does regulate some kinds of products, drugs, for example, other types
drugs,
of food products.
Drugs, baby formula, and dairy products, I believe.
Dairy, right.
And meat is a separate, it's a different agency.
But salad dressing is regarded as shelf-stable?
Correct.
And that does that term show up in a, was that in a website or
a
regulation?
That's in a website.
In a website.
In their definition.
It's shelf stable, meaning you could eat it at any time, or what?
From a safety point of view, you could eat it at any time.
It's not deleterious by age.
Not by age.
So it's like canned foods, bottled food, bottled under until you've opened it.
Until you've opened it, and then the shelf life.
Is there anything in the record, sort of a marketing literature, a gourmet literature, or something about the taste of salad dressing as a function of when it was manufactured?
None, except in the pretrial motions that we filed and in the post-trial motions that we filed. And we append to that numerous websites, numerous FDA literature that suggests that there is no regulation of this.
No, I know there isn't a regulation. I just wonder, is there, you know, and I don't know, and cooking school or something, do they tell you about when you should?
All I can say is, Judge, that
how fresh it should be, or
in the cooking shows that I watch, the only thing I hear is extra virgin olive oil.
But in the record, is there anything in the record about?
There is nothing regarding taste in this record. Interestingly enough, the government put one person on the witness stand who had tasted the dressing, Miss Madsen. In the pretrial motions, they suggested that she would testify that she got ill. We attacked that evidence and said there was nothing to support that conclusion. The judge ruled against us, said the government could offer her to testify to that. She got on the stand, and she said she used 5 bottles of the dressing, and when she saw that Mr. Fellinoil had been charged, she gave the rest to the agent, or vice versa. They never asked her, was the dressing good or bad?
What kind of dressing was it?
Various kinds, French. I think there were 4 or 5 different types, all in glass bottles, which makes the shelf-stable question even greater because it's better in glass than plastic. But 1.1 million bottles sold, not a single consumer complaint about taste, quality, anything.
So usually in these dollar stores, would you see bottles of salad dressing that say best if purchased by, you know, August 1, 2008? And if I walk in the dollar store today, I can see, well, that's a little on the old side.
Actually, I walked in the one across the street. I got about 5 feet in, and I said, I'm leaving. You can... I think, you know, since this case, do I check? I see everything I buy, I check now. But except for those products that I named, there is
no regulation
that says other. And Mr. Harrison, his testimony about there being required approval and scientific data to support the change of date, that's in his imagination. There is no regulation. There is no rule to that. And the government...
Excuse me. So with dairy products, I've noticed they have an expiration date.
That's different.
Now, is that something the FDA regulates?
I believe the FDA, first of all, dairy products, they do.
They spoil, of course.
Yes. They're not, as we say, shelf stable.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine, Judge. There is no regulation that requires approval. And the government has much said it in their response to the pretrial motion. They say it on page 2 of their reply brief, and yet they put on this Mr. Harrison, whose testimony was late coming, in the middle of the trial, notify us that he's going to say, oh, yes, the FDA requires approval for changes. Well, where is that approval required? What regulation? What statute? None.
I gather these, like dollar stores or whatever they are, secondary markets, I guess, do sell products that are past the best in purchase value.
They do. And the testimony
and
is that...
And there's nothing illegal. There's no statute that you know
none.
Of that makes it illegal
and
to sell something.
ACH, the first witness they put on, testified that's his job, Mr. Covington.
Mm-hmm.
Want to save your...
I do, Judge. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Bindi?
Good morning. May it please the Court. David Bindi on behalf of the United States. Your Honors, the evidence was sufficient to sustain the verdict, and the defendant's argument that there is no statute or regulation...
Well, you know, I must say, I find this a very troublesome case. I take it there is no history of prosecution or civil litigation or anything that has consumer surveys or what have you that establishes some stable meaning for the term best if used by, best if sold by?
There was testimony at the trial regarding how these dates are arrived at, Your Honor.
Is there a consumer survey or civil litigation, FTC, mislabeling suits, anything that would enable us to have a sense of what the understanding is of this phrase?
Nothing that I am aware of in terms of civil litigation.
To start off a whole area of law with a criminal prosecution. I mean, there's no regulation, there's no nothing, there's no FTC regulation, there's nothing. And look, what would you do with a case like this? Suppose Treasure Island or Fox Nobel or someone, the store manager sees this salad dressing that has a best if used by or best if sold by date put on by the supplier. And he says, look, this is ridiculous. I know this salad dressing. It doesn't matter when it's sold. Its taste doesn't change. The only reason they've put that, 6 month on is that they want more turnover, right? They want us to return the stuff after 6 months so they can sell us more. So I'm going to change the label. I'm going to put on my own label. I know salad dressing as well as Unilever. I'm going to say it's good for a year. Has he committed this crime, too?
You run the risk of misbranding.
Now, wait a second. You answer my question. Is that a crime?
If you change...
That I do not understand. What do you mean, change the label? Treasure Island, Foxland, they have their own views as when it is best to sell a salad dressing by.
There was testimony at the trial regarding how Unilever... or ACH or any other food manufacturer.
Oh, wait a second. Unilever or ACH, which one?
Both.
They didn't both manufacture it, though.
That's true, but witnesses...
Did ACH have put its own label on?
Not on this product.
Why?
Because they were not the original labeler.
Where in is it written that a best used by representation... shall be attached by the manufacturer rather than by someone else in the chain of production and distribution?
Your Honor, there is no statute or regulation requiring that.
What is the common sense of it? What is the common sense of it? Look, everybody in the chain of production and distribution may have an opinion as to when it is best to use this stuff. And why is the we don't know where Unilever manufactured. We don't know where the ingredients come from. What makes you think that Unilever is uniquely situated to be the producer who decides what best sold by is?
Because a quality assurance representative from Unilever testified at this trial. And she testified that Unilever, when they come out with a new product or a reformulated product, conducts testing. They compress the time frame of what shelf life would be like by
test the life of a product.
Well, first of all, you
put it aside for 2 years and then taste it?
No. What they do is they store it at an increased temperature, like 95 degrees, because that would speed up the shelf life aging of the product.
And then they taste it?
And then they open the product and...
And what? And do what?
And then cap it in refrigerator.
And do what?
Cap it and...
How do they determine after the test that it has deteriorated? Because
they periodically...
Do they taste it?
There was no testimony about somebody tasting it.
That's very important. What if the way they determine its shelf life is they have some person who tastes it and he says, well, I don't know, it doesn't taste so great, it isn't so terrific.
I'm not even sure that's a valid test. I mean, if you took a bottle of wine and put it in 95-degree heat after 2 years, it might taste awful. But if you stored it properly in normal room temperature situations, typically it'll last for years.
Well, Your Honor, I can't vouch for the science, but I can say that there was testimony from both Mr.
Friedman. Well,
it's
not really science. It's just a marketing practice, right?
Well, but it's more than that, Your Honor. It is a marketing tool. That's true. But it's they don't just make up the dates.
Well, but suppose in Judge Posner's Treasure Island example, they do randomly choose bottles of Henri's dressing, and they taste them after 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, and they come to the conclusion, hey, this stuff is actually really fine after even 18 months. And so they do their own testing. You're saying that it's clear that it's mislabeling.
It's misbranding, Your Honor, because misbranding consists of putting information on a label which is false or misleading in any particular.
And why is it misleading if it's actually still fine?
It's misleading because the manufacturer of the product has conducted testing to determine...
Had a different opinion, maybe.
The manufacturer has done testing to determine when is the best when purchased by date.
Is the criminal nature of this prosecution. They have a different opinion about when it's best if purchased by. I understand that. And now perhaps Mr. Farinell is putting words in their mouth by these extra sticky labels that he puts across the top of the salad dressing.
Exactly.
But I'm not sure, especially with all this other stuff the government brought into the case, and I don't want to omit that there's any rule that governs this. It reminds me of third world countries with what they call drawer regulations, where they write a regulation, stick it in the drawer, and they never tell anybody, and then they prosecute people for failing to comply with the drawer regulation. You don't have a regulation. You don't have a statute. You don't have a standard. This database is, not, for all I know, is not even a public database that Mr. Harrison was talking about. He's very inconsistent about whether putting the sticker on needs to be run by the FDA or whether it's just under general consumer fraud statutes. There are consumer fraud statutes that are available in most states and also the FTC. It's a very troublesome theory because it seems like you deviated from your mislabeling theory And then you went off into all the rest of this, you know, insinuations that it was unsafe, insinuations that it would taste rancid, insinuations that maybe everybody should go out and buy their own, you know, grow their own food. All of these things tainted this trial.
Well, there was evidentiary support for the proposition that the product would go bad over time. There was the letter that Mr. Friedman signed off on, that was the original letter sent from ACH to Mr. Farinella, which said that the product would still retain its quality for up to 6 months.
180 days.
Right, after the original sell-by date. But after that, it would start to turn color, the ingredients would separate out, and it would turn rancid.
So why aren't there any complaints? I don't understand.
I can't answer for that, Your Honor.
That's related to what Judge Ward was asked. I'm just very curious what their test is, what Unilever's test is. It's a taste test, and I think that gives a lot of force to what Judge Wood was saying. You know, people have different opinions about what tastes good. And so you don't know what kind of test they do.
I know what the testimony is, and the testimony was about...
But you don't know. Yeah, they heat it up and so on and so forth, but then how do they determine... when it's starting to lose its taste? Is it a taste test or is it some chemical test? You don't know.
The testimony didn't get that specific, Your Honor, so I can't say that.
What if this thing came with a label from ACH, said delicious salad dressing, and suppose Farinella covered it over with a new label which said the most delicious salad dressing in history? Is that misbranding?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I don't think that
why is it not misbranding?
Because I don't think you could make the case that that was false or misleading.
Wait a second. What if, in fact, you get a bunch of witnesses say, most delicious? This is mediocre. This is not delicious. This is false. How could you think it was the most delicious? Did you go out and taste all the salad dressings before you put this label on? And you say no. So why isn't that a crime?
I think that's advertising, Your Honor.
It's advertising. Why isn't Best when used by advertising?
Because this is a perishable product. There was testimony from the woman from Unilever that this is.
To think it's actually perished yet. As far as we know, it's still perfectly edible. What if I don't understand your most delicious? Suppose Farinella says to himself, "This is really mediocre stuff. This is crap." But the only way I'm going to sell it is to say this is the most delicious salad dressing in history. And you say that's not a crime.
No, I think that's advertising.
Best if used is also advertising or labeling.
It purports to be
factual. What's the difference? Pardon?
Because it purports to be...
If someone says this is the most delicious salad dressing in history, that's a factual statement. It's false.
It's me as an opinion, Your Honor.
But if you say best if purchased by, I think it's best if purchased by, well, all right, it may not be the best, but it's still okay if it's not purchased by that day, right?
Correct. The dressing still has
best if purchased by. It doesn't mean it's not an absolute. Not it, all, suddenly on that date it turns bad.
I don't think that there was a specific date that was on the labels. I think it was like by month. Best if sold by June of 2003,
okay,
something like that.
But that's not helpful. I mean, so you say it's June 30th, and you know, just to be rule of lenity or something like that. But it really. I think Judge Kaney's right. I mean, best if purchased by means pretty good if purchased after, maybe. It doesn't tell you it's expired, actually.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't tell you that on such and such a date.
And it certainly doesn't tell the consumer anything about do not use after, the way, say, you know, if you bought a bottle of Advil or something, there's an actual expiration date on that, and you should pitch it because it's not going to do anything for you after
that
date.
That's correct. This is different. Best when sold by is different than that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk for a moment about Ms. Sorensen. So you have apologized for her, You say that her remarks were improper. Defendants exercise of his constitutional right to counsel in a negative light. In fact, since she's on the brief, that's her confession. Correct?
Beginning with the opening brief, Your Honor, we admitted that.
This is your brief, one brief. Right. That's right. That's what you said. I just read it to you.
Okay.
Right. Now, what would you suggest as a sanction for her, for your office? Right? You've committed an impropriety. Now, what is an appropriate sanction?
Well, the district court didn't think that any sanction was necessary.
What do you think is an appropriate sanction? Your office is expert on punishment fitting the crime. So what is an appropriate sanction?
Your Honor, that's really not for me to say.
Well, I'm asking for your ideas.
That would be something for Ms. Sorensen to discuss with her supervisors,
How is that a sanction?
Pardon me?
How is that a sanction?
Again, that would be for her supervisors to decide.
Why would her supervisor sanction her?
It would be for her supervisor to decide what to do.
This is what the problem is. Suppose you have a very strong case. No reasonable jury would acquit. But not every jury is reasonable. So wouldn't it make sense for your prosecutors to make some improper remarks designed to sew up the conviction? And then when it's challenged on appeal, they say, well, it's a harmless error because no reasonable jury would acquit. And that's a perfectly good argument because we've been told by the Supreme Court we cannot reverse as a sanction for prosecutorial impropriety. So your prosecutors have an incentive in very strong cases to make improper comments to the jury. So the question is, what kind of sanction is necessary and appropriate to prevent that kind of misconduct?
Well, Your Honor, that would be something for the supervisory staff and the U.S. Attorney's office.
The supervisor has no incentive to discipline a lawyer for doing this.
Yes, Your Honor.
Because as the conviction is secure, because we can't reverse for misconduct, as long as the conviction is secure, her remarks, because this is obviously a marginal case, her remarks, her frightening the jury, the kind of intimation that, you know, maybe there's some safety problem here, that might have been what secured the verdict. So why would your supervisor want to reprimand her?
Because the reputation of the office is such that this is not encouraged conduct.
But the question is whether it's condoned, because it's to the advantage of the prosecutors.
It's not to our advantage. There is a moral disincentive.
Why shouldn't there be a sanction?
Pardon me?
Shouldn't there be a sanction rather than a talking to by a supervisor?
I suppose if it's a chronic problem with a particular assistant, then there would be...
Why a chronic problem? Why not if it's an isolated problem?
Lawyers make missteps.
You punish isolated criminal activity. You don't wait until the person has a criminal career before you prosecute. So why shouldn't there be a sanction now?
Lawyers make missteps. In closing arguments,
it was a misstep because it was repeated. Even after the objection was sustained, she repeats the impropriety. So what's the misstep?
Well, Your Honor, the district court felt that this was a heat-of-the-moment kind of thing. That's what he said when he denied the motion for a new trial. And under the circumstances, the error was harmless.
That's a different point. Right? You can have extreme impropriety, but it's harmless. Right? That's the problem.
Well, the district court didn't see it as extreme impropriety. The district court...
You thought it enough to apologize. You didn't defend it. You called it an impropriety. Cast defendant's exercise of his constitutional right to counsel in a negative light? That sounds pretty serious, actually.
Well, again, our position is that it's not a reversible error because the evidence...
Well, of course it's not a reversible error. That's what I asked you, what an appropriate sanction would be. This has nothing to do with reversal. This has to do with sanctions for improprieties by federal prosecutors.
Again, Your Honor, my answer is that...
is the appropriate sanction is that her supervisor will give her a tongue lashing. Is that it?
That's to begin
suggestion?
With.
To begin with. What comes next?
Well, again, if it turns into a chronic situation, then or if the conduct is repeated, then...
Something worse. Okay, thank you, Mr. Bindi.
Thank you.
Mr. Nash, how much time does he have? Three minutes.
I'm sure I'm stating what Your Honors already know, but the various terms used by, purchased by, sold by, expiration dates all have different meanings.
Now, didn't you, you were trial counsel, right?
I was.
It seemed to me that you weren't always consistent among these phrases at the trial either. Didn't you sometimes refer to it as an expiration date? Maybe that was a misstatement, but...
If I did, it was a misstatement. I certainly knew the difference, and as best I could, tried to keep it on track. The other thing that I would mention, when they talk about taste, the only bottles of this salad dressing that exist are in the government's possession. And although they paraded them before the jury and put them on the table before the jury, and then made the comment and final argument that they didn't see us, Mr. Farinella or I, take a whiff of them, they had the option to test them, to taste them, to attempt to prove or answer the questions that Your Honors have had here. They haven't. And with regard to sanctions and the conduct, their government's brief in this court has called into question the safety. On page 45, they say the harm caused by the fraud was to the public confidence in the safety of the food supply. Notwithstanding whatever they say, this wasn't about safety. They continue to attempt to make that point in this court. If there are no further questions...
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Nash and Mr. Bindi. And we'll move on to our next argument.